Hi, teacher friends. Welcome to the Lessons Learned podcast. I'm Becca Foxwell, and if we haven't met before, I'm an award-winning first grade teacher turned stay-at-home mama to two truck-loving little boys, and I am on a mission to help teachers learn to calm the chaos in their hearts, in their lives, and in their classrooms. See, it took reaching burnout for me to realize that in order to teach well, you have to be well. So this podcast is for you. You spend all day pouring into the lives of your students, and I want to spend the next couple of minutes pouring back into your heart, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. And that is another lessons learned. These lessons learned have lots of lessons. But today's lesson is actually going to be on four words to get through hard days. Yes, only four words I'm going to be sharing. And these have honestly, truthfully been a game changer for me. I'm going to be diving into some of the hardest parts of my story. Doesn't that sound fun? It's part of my story. And I'm excited to be joining you today. So grab your favorite cup of coffee, or if you're like me and are not a coffee drinker, grab another type of drink. For me, it would be a berry protein smoothie. I do love those very, very much. But let's dive into today's lesson. So today we are tackling four words that will get you through hard days. And this was actually, I asked my followers on Instagram, I did a poll and also sent an email out to my email list asking, what would you like the second episode of the podcast to be? I gave the option of how to get through hard days and also remembering your why. And it was like overwhelmingly everyone wanted how to get through hard days. Don't worry, I will still be doing an episode on remembering your why, because I think it is crucial to not only teaching, but to everything we do in life, to remember why we're doing what we're doing. Here we're going to go dive in. But in case you aren't on my email list, I would be honored for you to jump over there. I will put a link in the show notes for you and for you to join. I send out a weekly email with encouragement and tips for teaching. And also, you can grab one of my favorite songs to use in the classroom as well as a free thank you for joining the email list. So I'll put a link for that in the show notes. But yeah, we're going to dive right into today's lesson. I don't know about you, but I am a pretty type A personality and I love a good checklist. Do you resonate with this? I mean, too, I think teachers too, we love like a good flare pen or Inkjoy pen. This has been a debate that I didn't know how heated it really was until I was sharing my love of flare pens with some teachers and they were like, but have you tried out Inkjoy? And I was like, no, I love flair. Why would I be trying out Inkjoy pens? And I had a teacher friend actually send me some Inkjoy. And she's like, trust me, you need to use these. And I was for sure nothing could beat my love of flair pens. She wasn't wrong. And if you love flair, I'm just going to tell you, if you haven't tried Inkjoy, try a good Inkjoy pen. They are a game changer as well. I'm like right now sitting here looking at both. I still have both, but I love a good checklist, and especially if I have a colorful pen to check them off. And I'm the type of person that if my day is not going as planned, I will unashamedly admit that there are times I will add things to my checklist just for the satisfaction of checking them off. Like, brushed my teeth this morning, check. Made my bed this morning, check. Got dressed this morning, check, check, and check. There's nothing better than accomplishing something and checking it off on a list. But here's what I've learned. Life isn't always as predictable as I'd like my checklist to look. Both as teachers and as moms, as human beings, there are things that get thrown into our path that make the to-do list fly out the door. I find it very rude. Do not like when things like that happen, but they happen very, very often. So today I'm going to share one of the biggest curveballs in our story, one of the hardest parts of our story that God has allowed us to journey through and get stronger through. Remember, we talked on our first episode that hard things can make you bitter, they can make you better, or they can make you bland and kind of apathetic. And it's always my hope and prayer that God would use the hard times in my life to make me better and a better version of me and who He's created me to be. But so as I shared in episode one, left teaching after 8 years of teaching first grade, and we were planning to start our family. And I was about 6 months pregnant with Sammy, and we were very, very excited that he was going to be arriving soon and for us to grow our family. And it was during that time that my husband, David, started getting really, really sick. Looking back, he had not been feeling good for a while, and we'd been going to doctors and no one could figure out what was going on. Now you always hindsight 2020, looking back, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah. But, he was really sick. And one weekend in January, I remember it specifically because we got like snowed in at the hospital. It was a very cold, blustery, snowy January. And, I ended up rushing him to the ER cause he was having trouble breathing. And come to find out, he had a really rare case of type of pneumonia. But on top of that, that wasn't really what was the hardest part of that. On top of that, we found out that he was in heart failure, that he had, he has a history of some heart issues, had already had a open heart surgery before we met when he was in college. And he was in heart failure again, but they couldn't do anything about his heart failure until he recovered from the pneumonia. And so our weekend, I remember asking the doctor, how long do you think we're going to be here before we knew everything? He's like, probably a weekend. Well, our weekend in the hospital turned into 3 months in the hospital and some of, honestly, the scariest days of my life. Of him being in the ICU, there were multiple times that we almost lost him and that I was pregnant, very pregnant at many points in that journey. And just thinking like, how did we get here? And what are we going to do? And it just felt like things just kept getting harder and harder, and things would go worse to worse. At one point, there was 1 week that David needed to be put on a machine called ECMO. Basically, it's a machine. I didn't know about this machine, but I am super grateful for it. That basically like pumps the blood through your body because his heart wasn't able to do that. Looking back now, I have friends in the medical field that like later shared like that we thought it was going to be over then because it's usually a last chance for survival kind of thing. Super glad that in that moment, I knew things were bad, I'm super glad in that moment that I didn't quite realize how bad. I knew they were bad, but I'm super grateful. But I remember in that moment when he was put on this machine and I knew things were awful, holding my swollen belly with Sammy inside and thinking, how in the world are we going to get through this? Like what if? And that is such a scary thing to be thinking, but really, I mean, the reality was like, what if I lose my best friend and my husband and the father of my future child? And it was just in a really, really, really hard spot. And I remember during this time reading a devotional by Elizabeth Elliot that talked about her losing her husband. And then, so what happened, just a little background, if you don't know who Elizabeth Elliot, they were missionaries and, her husband actually was killed by the very people that they were like going to share God's love about. And she actually like not only lost her husband, but then and she had like a young daughter at the time, took her and her daughter back to the very people that had killed her husband to continue the work. And the devotional was, a kind of like an interview, and someone was asking her like, how in the world did you do that? I mean, really, like how in the world did you do that? And how did you get through all that? And she said, and here are the 4 words, she learned to do the next thing, do the next thing. That the bigger picture would have crippled her, the bigger picture of all that she needed to do. But if she just focused on doing the very next thing, she could get through it with God's strength. I don't remember how I got that devotional. I don't know if someone gave it to me or if it was just part of the devotional I was reading. I have no idea, but I am so incredibly grateful because those words, do the next thing. That is 4, right? Do the next. Yeah, that is 4. Wouldn't that be awful if that wasn't 4? And that was what the name of the episode was. There's a reason why I was a first grade math teacher. But anyways, do the next thing just has carried me through the hardest days of David being in the hospital. Of and not only like the hardest days of being in the hospital, but like, can we also just for a second stop and talk about like for a second how hard is hard? Like, I think sometimes we fall into this trap of comparison when it comes to hard, and it's like, oh, well, that's hard, but wait till you hear my hard. Or I think even too, I don't know if you struggle with this, but I think as teachers and as moms, we even get into the, like, I don't know if it's a victim or what it is, but we think like, oh, well, yeah, my heart is hard, but at least it's not that hard. And I'm like, can we just stop? Can we just stop the comparison of hard? Let's just talk about there are different types of hard. There are different degrees of hard, but hard is hard because those words, do the next thing, have not only carried me through when David was in the ICU, but they also have carried me through like newborn life. They've carried me through days when like my 2-year-old is throwing tantrums. They've carried me through just like little hard things too, of remembering like I can only control the things I can control. Like I can't control when David was in the hospital sick. I can't control that like newborns don't sleep. Like, and as teachers, like you can't control who the students that are in your classroom or the families that you get. Like you can't sometimes control like the mandates that come down from your administration. Like, but we can control what we can control. Like that's the only thing. And so we can control and focusing our thoughts, which turn into our feelings, which turn into our actions, undoing the next thing. I don't know what your heart is right now in this season of life. I don't know what it is. I am sure. You're human. I know that you have a heart. It could be that teaching is just harder than you ever imagined it could be. And that deep down you love teaching, but you just keep thinking this is not what I signed up for. This is harder than it was supposed to be, than I thought it was going to be. Maybe you are a new mama who is stuck in the sleepless nights of newborn life. And you're wondering, will I ever sleep again? Because nobody prepares you for how hard being more exhausted than you've ever been in your life. Like there's a reason that people use lack of sleep for torture, because like there is nothing worse than being so incredibly exhausted. And I just am here to encourage you. I mean, I've done this twice. So I mean, but like you will sleep again. There is hope. There's always hope, my friend. There's always hope. Or maybe like your heart, you might be going through some relationships that are very difficult right now, or just even your heart is like, I cannot keep up with these dishes and laundry. That for me, it feels like an unending battle that I'm like, I don't understand the multiplication of dishes and laundry. Again, reason I was a first grade teacher, but I just don't get like how they can just keep multiplying daily. But anyways, hard is hard. And I just wanted to encourage you to keep focusing on doing the next thing. There will be hours, there will be days, there will be seasons where life is very hard. And I think it's also important that we take the time to admit that. I think one of the things that I know that I've struggled with in the past is that like, you just are like, no, we're fine. And like, it's okay at sometimes to not be okay. Like to be like, this is hard. So like, just admit, like whatever you're going through, admit that it is hard. But know that like we can't stay in that hard, that while we can't control the curveballs that are thrown at us, we can control our thoughts, which turn into our feelings, which turn into our actions, and we can focus on doing the next thing. I have found that like what I keep my focus on becomes like what I give my attention to, becomes like what I get fixed on. And so like, instead of fixing my eyes on the situation, I can focus on the truth and focus on doing the next thing. I don't want to leave you hanging either. I kind of like realized I just totally left you hanging with David's story. If you don't know our story, you're like, but what about your husband? And I am so sorry about that. It was 3 months of very, very difficult journey. There was one night where we almost lost him again. Like I thought for sure that was the night that, yeah. Anyways, that there was a doctor that was at the hospital that, trains other heart doctors how to do this very special procedure that wasn't done around very much at the time, where they put new heart valves in through like your, I don't know, veins, arteries. I don't remember all the technical. Anyways, I remember him talking to me when David at that point was in like a, they had done like a self-induced, like, I don't know if it's not coma, but he was sedated. I guess it is kind of a coma. And he was like, your husband is very sick. The only thing we can do is this procedure to give him a chance to live. He's not healthy enough to do open heart surgery, which he ultimately needs. But this procedure will allow him to hopefully like learn to walk again and get better again so that he can get strong enough to have the open heart surgery. And I had had so much bad news. I remember that night thinking, oh, great. They're going to tell me that nobody here knows how to do that. That's awful that I thought that, but I legit did. And he was like, and I'm the guy that trains people around the country how to do this. And I just busted out in tears thinking, God, thank you. Thank you so much that for such a time as this, that this man is not traveling the country, but he happens just to be here at our hospital. And he did the procedure that day. And there were complications of some other things. And David had to go to a rehab hospital to learn how to walk again. Like literally like, I think it was like 2 weeks before Sammy came. Anyways, but he is doing so much better. He is alive, which is such a miracle and a blessing and something that I don't ever want to take for granted as part of our story. But he ended up having open heart surgery when Sammy was 3 months old, which is like a whole nother hard. but we just have so much to be incredibly thankful for. But yeah, through the hardest curveball of my life of almost losing my husband, those four words, do the next thing, have just been such a gift for carrying me through hard times. So friend, whatever you are going through as we wrap up today's lesson, I just want to encourage you to remember that life can be hard and that heart is hard. Please don't compare. Please don't hear my story and think, well, my heart isn't as hard as her heart. There are different kinds of hards. There are different seasons of hard, and just admit it. Hard is hard. It's okay to admit that. And while we can't often control our circumstances and the curveballs, the perfect to-do list does not exist out there, no matter how beautiful the pens are. Like, we can control our thoughts and our actions. And that when you feel stuck, when you feel overwhelmed, my encouragement to you today is to remember these four words. Do the next thing. Friend, I cannot thank you enough for all that you do each and every day by pouring into the lives of your kids. I want to remind you that you are not alone in this. It is possible for us to learn to calm the chaos in our hearts and our lives and classrooms so that we can thrive and not just merely survive the season God has us in, and that you're doing a good job. You are, and you're making a difference every single day. So if this podcast episode was an encouragement to you and you haven't done so yet, I would just love for you to hit the follow button so that you don't miss out on another one of our new episodes. If you follow, you'll get like a notice in your podcast app, wherever you listen, that there is a new episode. If there's a friend that you thought, man, I have a friend that's going through a hard time, they need these four words, do the next thing, would you please send this to them? And if you were encouraged by this, I would just be so honored if you would leave a review. That helps get the word spread out about the podcast. It also just means the world to me to hear your encouraging words. And friend, I just wanted to thank you again for this time and just want to say have a wonderful week and remember to do the next thing. And I will look forward to our time together on the next episode of Lessons Learned.